Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. It is a beautiful Thursday, May 4th, and I'm your usual Thursday morning co-host, Jack. Across from me is your other usual morning show co-host, Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing today? Did you pedal in?
I did pedal in, and it hit a bit of a headwind as soon as I got to about Division Street. It's kind of blustery out there. Breezy, but warm.
You know, one of the things I find interesting about bicycling here in Sandpoint is that I will pedal down Pine Street eastward, and I have a headwind, and I look forward to in the evening, you know, having it at my back, and then I pedal in the evening, and I have a headwind again, and no matter which direction I pedal, it could say something about me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I definitely feel like coming downtown, there's usually a headwind heading to the east in the morning, and In the evening, it's not so much. Not so much blowing in that, blowing
should
at your back.
Should we ask our guests with us this morning how they deal with, if they're bicyclists, Justine Murray from La Chic Boutique and Matt Connery, Outdoor Experience, and a board member of the Ethan Murray Fund. Are you guys bicyclers?
Ooh, I'm a big hiker, walker. I live downtown, and I pretty much just walk everywhere.
I would agree with that same.
Okay, so it's sort of like, well, can hikers have headwinds? Well, I'm sure if it's like 150 miles an hour, something like that. But it's something we have to deal with as bicyclists.
I guess so. We just have to put up with it. Oh, well, it's not that bad. It's not so bad.
What's the weather look like for today?
I will tell you. Here we go from the National Weather Service. We have a high today of 86 degrees and mostly sunny. So kind of continuing in this, whatever this thing is that's been happening to us these last few days, it continues. Mm-hmm. But it ends tonight. There is a 50% chance of showers tonight. And tomorrow the high is only 64 degrees, 20 degrees cooler tomorrow than it is today. Wow. 80% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow before 8 a.m. And then showers likely. Really, all day.
Of course, off and it's on. The Cinco de Mayo celebration between First and Second Street on Main Street in front of La Chic Boutique, among other businesses there. And of course, we're going to have rain.
Yes,
inevitable.
But who knows? Maybe the heavens will part in the evening.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It doesn't look like it, though. There's a 90% chance of showers on Friday night, a 90% chance of showers on Saturday with a high of 53 on Saturday, a high of 58 on Sunday with a 50% chance of showers, and a high on Monday of 64. And if I keep looking ahead, it looks like this kind of somewhere between 20 and 50% chance of showers on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and that's as far as this forecast goes. Might be warming up, though, as after this weekend. So,
well, I'm quite sure that people like me who did planting over the weekend will welcome the wet weather, not necessarily the cold temperatures.
Would you like to know, speaking of wet weather, would you like to know the hydrologic outlook, Jim?
Do I have to get in a bathing suit?
Here we go.
Let's go hydro.
Watches, warnings, and advisories column. We have a hydrologic outlook, which is not a warning or an advisory, but I guess it's an advisory. Here's the hydrologic outlook. Unseasonably warm temperatures, snow melt, and additional rainfall to continue rises on many rivers and creeks in the region. Very warm temperatures will continue today, resulting in significant snow melt and subsequent runoff into area rivers and streams. River rises and increased flows will continue through the week. Additionally, widespread showers and thunderstorms developing this evening and continuing will produce heavy rain, which may further accentuate the rising rivers.
Whoa.
Thunderstorms may also produce localized debris flows in steep terrain, especially near burn scars. Urban areas, as well as locations with poor drainage, will also be susceptible to flooding. Several rivers are forecast to wreak bank full by late Friday or this weekend. This includes the Moye and Spokane Rivers. The Kettle River and Coeur d'Alene River are also expected to reach their flood stage this week. Here it comes.
Has the lake gone up already, or is it?
It's low in the process
and waiting for
I think it's waiting
to occur and the rain to occur.
Yeah, they. I believe they started. The Corps of Engineers started raising the lake level in April, but it is certainly not at full pool yet. But this upcoming week will be.
Yeah, will be a test of it. My sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia, sent me the weather forecast through the magic of technology. They have an Alexa in their kitchen, and they say, Alexa, 88.5, care of why. She says in the D.C. area, 55 now, high of 61. That's about 20 degrees lower than us.
Yeah, unusual.
Well, what the hey? Expected partly cloudy, sunny this afternoon.
Okay.
And Justine, you want to say hello to somebody who is not here with us in Sandpoint, but elsewhere like Florida?
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi to my mom. She's listening over in Wellborn, Florida. And also my sister-in-law, Rebecca, over in Dixon, Illinois. And, of course, my beautiful daughter, Cora, who just went camping last night and lives in Sandpoint. She's on her way home right now. So, yeah.
Cora's over at Evans Brothers, correct?
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. A good underwriter here. Where is Wilburn, Florida?
Wellborn, Florida.
Wellborn.
is about an hour and a half south of the Georgia border, or about 2 hours west of Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Matt, anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'd like to say hi to my mother. She is probably hiking up at Pine Street Woods right now.
With earbuds?
Or she's in her car. she might have jumped back to the car. She's out there somewhere. Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, okay.
And how about you, Jay? Is James listening?
James may be listening. He may be
awake. Hi, James.
Yeah, hi. Let's see if I'll get a text message if he is, because then they'll say, you know, he'll say hi back to the radio. He doesn't quite understand the one-way nature of the communication.
I don't either. Yeah. So he's not alone.
We are, we're kind of hot up here in the studio, I have to say. We have the door wide open, so I'm kind of waving to our office neighbors as they walk by, because it is a little toasty here.
It's the shoulder season here.
Yeah.
The switching from the heat over to the air conditioning. And mm-hmm.
Same thing happens in the fall.
The whole system goes that way.
Whatever.
Yeah. Let's make some outdoor hiking talk.
Mm-hmm.
We're here with Justine and Matt, and I'll throw the microphone over to you, Justine, to give a context for our conversation that we're going to be having this morning.
Okay, so I'm Justine Murray, and I've been in Sandpoint a little over 20 years, and I lost my son during a mental health crisis in 2019, and I needed something to focus on and to turn that grief into, because it was so painful. And so one of the things I founded was the Ethan Murray Fund in 2021.
Okay. And can you talk a little bit more about what it means, the Ethan Murray Fund, describe it and where the monies go and things like that?
So Ethan loved being outside and hiking and in the woods. So I knew I wanted it to be something nature-based and outside. And of course, more mental health awareness and help for those that are experiencing mental health crises. So our mission is to empower and support individuals in need. We provide financial assistance for mental health services in our community. One of the things that we've been focused on is offering counseling services for people in the area, teens and adults. We also are working with the middle school right now with a program that they call Sources of Strength, and they're preparing for a mental health walk. So we are sponsoring that, and we'll be there with the kids that day. That's late May. And we're also doing 2 scholarships for teens this summer. It's a river-based expedition. It'll be through Soul, which we think is really important to get kids outside. It builds confidence, leadership, and again, it's another thing that Ethan really enjoyed. So,
and Matt, how did you come along and join the Ethan Murray Fund?
I was there from the get-go. I actually had met Ethan before he had passed, and Justin and I had become friends. We decided to hike the Idaho Centennial Trail as a fundraiser, and in that is when we started the Ethan Murray Fund.
So what year did you hike the trail?
2021.
And can you say a little bit about the trail and that experience? Because one reason why you're here is your next adventure on a trail.
Yes. So the Idaho Centennial Trail starts in the border of Nevada and continues north to Canada. And excuse me. It's starts in the Waihi Desert, and you continue north through the Sawtooth, the Frank Church Wilderness, Selway Bitterroot, up to here.
How many miles?
900.
Whoa, how long did it take you guys to do that?
About 3.5 months, I'd say, or about 3 months, was about three, because of fire reroutes. It was the year that there were so many fires through Idaho, so.
So you had to be flexible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like? What did you walk away with in terms of, besides raising a significant amount of money for the Ethan Murray Fund, what did you learn about Idaho?
It's absolutely beautiful.
And there's a lot of rattlesnakes. Just be prepared. Most of Idaho, I had no idea till we got a little south of Coeur d'Alene, is full of rattlesnakes. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Well, that's not a selling point,
no.
Boyd.
Were you on foot the whole time from the southern border to Canada, or were there parts where you had to take a break, go around something in a car or something like that?
Well, the fires, so mostly is on foot because you're hiking through. And there's a point that in the Frank Church, we had this major fire to get around, mm-hmm. and we were hiking on the Middle Fork of the Salmon, and we ran into some boaters, and we actually got onto a raft and rafted 75 miles just by chance because somebody got hurt, and that was a pretty amazing experience. So
wow,
we lucked out there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the food, let me tell you, we heard from everybody that when you walk through the Middle Fork, there's not many hikers, and if rafters see you, they will want to feed you, and they were not joking.
Yeah. You kind of want to look like a lost puppy when you meet the rafters, like you're starving.
And it worked? And it worked?
It worked.
Oh, yeah. We had fresh fruit, veggies, quiche. We're talking hummus, roasted red peppers, like anything you can imagine. They have it out there in the river.
Wonderful. Tell me about the trail itself. Is it well marked? Are there many people walking it?
No, there's less than 10 people that actually try to hike through it in 1 year. It's not well marked. It's a lot of bushwhacking. You have to know your navigation. It can be pretty brutal at times.
What's the longest stretch between resupply points, would you take a guess at?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember now because it's a couple years ago. I think it's between 150, 160, 100. Yeah, miles.
About 14 days, I think, was our longest food carry.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, because they say when you backpack, that's 2 pounds usually of food a day, and there's two of you, 14 days, 56 pounds between the two of you? Well, that's a lot of food.
It is.
but you're hungry, and you eat it, but, you know, they say, you know, once you have your basic gear, water, and how was the water, access to water, besides just food?
Good once we got out of the desert, the Waihi Desert. In that section, you actually have to bury water. So every 17 miles or so, we were actually burying 5 gallons of water in the beginning. And it was pretty rough. So then we each had 5 liters of water that we carried a day.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to remember my conversion scale of how heavy a liter of water is. But that's significant, carrying 5.
Yes, I think it added like 11 and a half or so pounds.
Mm-hmm.
To each of us, yeah.
What time of year? Do you remember your start and end dates?
Our start date was June 26th, and it was super hot. It was brutal.
Mm. Yeah, the first shade tree was in 46 miles.
Wow.
I have to tell you, I cheat. Like when I hike the Grand Canyon, I take an umbrella.
Mm-hmm. We do too.
You know, I mean, it's not just the rain, and it really isn't useful in the rain because you're going to get wet anyway, but keeping the sun off you. I found my ears, for starters. So you guys take umbrellas.
We do. In the desert there, though, it worked for about the first day. And then, oh, gosh, it was so windy that it didn't work. Justine was using it sideways to keep the sun off of her legs because she was burning so bad.
Your calves.
Yes.
Right? They,
yeah.
They take a beating, don't they? You don't think about it. You think of, oh, sunscreen, put it on my face and whatever like that. You don't think about your calves.
Yeah. No, both of my legs were burnt. I had sun rash. I had severe chafing. It was definitely very hot.
Blisters.
Yeah, and my feet were blistered. It was rough. Yeah, thinking about the umbrellas now, it was funny because going in, you know, you have to go in with no expectations, and definitely going into this next hike, we're doing that. But the umbrella, definitely with the high desert wind, yeah, it was not what I thought it was going to be. So it did break.
We're talking to Justine Murray and Matt Connery from the Ethan Murray Fund and from La Chic Boutique and Outdoor Experience, respectively, about their 2021 hike on the Idaho Centennial Trail. And coming up, what's the next big adventure for you guys?
This summer, we're going to be doing the Pacific Northwest Trail, which don't mistake that with the Pacific Crest Trail.
Mm-hmm.
This trail runs from Chief Mountain on East Glacier, and it runs through Northwest Montana, North Idaho, and all the way across Washington to the Pacific Ocean. And we walk along the Pacific Ocean for about 50 miles.
And is it just the two of you doing the hike?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you expect to have any company? I guess I should have asked about the previous time. Other than seeing those rafters, did you spend...
And the rattlesnakes.
And the rattlesnakes, yeah. Did you spend time among, you know, other hikers, other campers and stuff? Or was it pretty much just the two of you hanging out?
It was pretty remote, honestly. Yeah. I think that year there was only two other hikers that we ran into that were on the trail. One was pretty far ahead of us. So three that we know of that were doing the full trail that year. We did have some resupplies, though, where friends met us and mm-hmm. made us food, and it was really lovely. We were very grateful for that.
Or they'd stay for an evening, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go back to the ICT first. Do you have a sign-in where you sign in, and then like on the Appalachian Trail, where when you start, you sign in, and then when you complete it, you sign out? Is there anything like that on the ICT?
There's just an orange post on the Nevada border that somebody had put a little book there, but I think it was more of a personal thing to see.
Gotcha.
But no, there's no like official.
And at the end at American Falls and Priest Lake, there's no like end terminus. Like you always see on the PCT or Appalachian, everyone at the end by the
pictures.
Yeah. So we were calling the waterfall the terminus. We're like, this is beautiful. We should just say that the waterfall is your reward. And so, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, how long is the PNT?
It is roughly 1,246 miles.
Wow. And how long was the other one? Was about 900 or
900.
900. So this is a step up.
Yes.
And what do you imagine geographically being different? Obviously you haven't walked it yet, but is there any desert?
Not like the Owyhee Desert. What's different about this is, like with the mountain ranges in the United States, the ridge lines run north and south, kind of. And so we're going to be crossing up and over the top of all of these. So we have an elevation gain of loss of 415,000 plus feet of going up and down.
They say it's like the trail's like climbing Everest eight times.
415,000 feet up and down. That's just silly. I don't think this is a good idea, guys. That seems insane.
We like the challenge.
Yeah.
Yes. It is still more bushwhack. It's not.
Yeah. Is it more developed than the Idaho Centennial Trail was?
It is, and there is more information out there. The Idaho Centennial Trail, when we did it, there had only been maybe 30 people that had completed it in one season.
Yeah. Okay, and this one has a longer history than the Idaho Centennial Trail too. I'm guessing. I don't know. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like I've heard of it before, but maybe that's just because our neighbor Phil Huff has
friends of Scotch Peaks.
Friends of Scotchman Peaks.
I have to smile when you talk about ridge lines and whatever. I think of my early days on the Appalachian Trail that. In Georgia and North Carolina, they don't believe in switchbacks. You just go straight up mm-hmm. and come straight down. whereas I understand I haven't done it at the Pacific Crest Trail because mm-hmm. it's an animal trail, in parts, you do have switchbacks. So I hope that you have nothing but switchbacks rather than...
Fingers crossed, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, how do you prepare for this? I mean, you know, that's overwhelming, over 400,000 feet. Himalayas, what, eight times?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you prep for it? I mean, there's the Mykonic Trail, you know, hiking up there. That gets a little bit, but tell me.
Honestly, we do a lot at Pine Street Woods, you know. Just keep putting on miles, keep adding pack to our weights. With something different this year is we've been going to Sandpoint Strength to kind of build up our core.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really good for me for mobility, too. And I think it'll be a lot easier getting in and out of the tent this year. So I'm super excited about that. We've been working over with them for about 3 months now. So
perfect. Perfect. Now, what did you learn from the ICT that you're going to carry over to your hike on the PNT? What, you know, like, gosh, we're not going to bring this time, or, oh, if only we had, or, you know, what sort of shakedown do you have between your first experience and what you've learned pack-wise?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. I want to go to not pack-wise, but like no expectations, like really walk in with an open mind, because we had had all these maps and ways we were going to go, and we had to ditch most of that because of the fires, and we just had to figure out other routes to get home. But I think our packs, we got pretty much dialed in. I mean, there were some things I sent back, a book you have no time to read. I mean, there's just so many chores at night, and you're just, you know, hiker midnight is like 8:30 or the minute it gets dark. So
Yeah, we did our gear that we switched our packs from Osprey packs to Waymark backpacks. They're 40 liters and they're ultra lightweight. So that's a big,
when you start talking about ounces, that means a heck of a lot in terms of weight of, let's say, a sleeping pad, a backpack, because that all adds up. Tell me more about your switch from Osprey, to, Waymark.
Waymark. Okay. It's Waymark is a small cottage company out of Utah. If you order a pack, usually it takes 2-3 months to get, because they hand make them there. It has an internal frame. It still has a ways. It's just,
it doesn't have compartments, does it? It's one big, you put your things in. And I, if I'm not mistaken, because I think back in my backpacking experience, I had compartments back there, you know, different things. And this is,
it's more like a, yeah, like a giant just sack, but it does have place for your water bottles
on the sides,
on the sides still. Definitely. And then a stuff sack on the very back.
And we did get these clip-ons for the shoulders where you can keep, you know, a water bottle or your sunglasses or, so yeah, we kind of created some space on there, but it is going to be a different form of packing for sure.
How heavy would, granted, you know, depends how far into the, you know, 3 days worth of food or first day of food, on average, without the food and water, how much weight would you guess you carry in your backpacks?
So we haven't exactly done our base weight yet. Base weight is everything without the food, water, or fuel. We're trying to shoot for under 15 pounds a piece, maybe 12 would be good. So that means, like, clothing wise is a lightweight coat, a raincoat, you know, maybe an extra t-shirt, maybe an extra pair of underwear, three pairs of socks, and not much clothing, because clothing is a lot of weight.
Let me ask you this, from your first one to your second one, what you started with the ICT with all the clothing, and, well, you started in the heat, and so therefore you need very little. And as you move, clothing, I think you're absolutely correct, is where a lot of not only weight, but space is taken.
Oh, yeah. And the first hike, I definitely took way too many clothes. Yeah. And I realized that no matter what, you're always smelly. Nothing's ever going to get clean. So, like, why waste that space and carry that on your back when really all you need is your t-shirt, a long sleeve, a pair of shorts, some socks, and you're good to go.
You're good. I like your comment, Justine, about, you know, when you did the ICT, you know, the fires changed and you had to be fluid. One of the things, I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on the Appalachian Trail, and people, when they leave Springer Mountain, through hike, and there's, you know, it's sort of like, and not, I'm going to do it today and see where I got to get, and tomorrow I'm going to take another day, rather than the pressure of the end destination. Because, you know, if you say 1,200 miles, that can be, wouldn't you agree, be overwhelming?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely take it day by day and even like section by section, you know, it definitely helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a rough estimate of when you're going to get to your destination?
We're starting on, June 20th. Mm-hmm. One thing that we're doing this year is we don't have a final date, like when we're going to be done
yet.
But so what we're doing is we're doing something called a flip-flop. So we're not actually going to walk from, say, Glacier National Park all the way to the ocean. So we're going to, so we can start earlier. We're going to start in Oroville, Washington. And then we're going to walk from Oroville to Glacier going east. And then when we're done that section, we're going to jump back to Oroville and head towards the ocean.
Ah.
This will allow us to let the snow and Glacier and the Olympics and the Cascades melt. Mm-hmm. The streams crossings will be easier because there'll be less water. We're going to get a jump on the fire season and try to beat some of the heat in the middle of Washington.
Yeah.
But they say the average hiker, which I guess, I don't know what the average hiker is, but like 20 miles a day, you're going to finish in 70 days. So if the weather's great, everything's good, we're up to the 20 miles, we should be done like 1st of September.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But that's a whole summer. Cool.
Yeah.
Is the flip-flop is a convenient idea.
It is, and I didn't think about it. It's not me. I mean, I came up with it for us, but that's other hikers.
Yeah.
That's quite common on the Appalachian Trail. People put in at, because if you start, let's say, in March down in Georgia, you could run into snow in the Smokies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, you start at Harper's Ferry, head north to Maine, and then once you get there, flip-flop and go back down. You know, in essence, everyone hikes their own trail.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily point A to point B, but a midpoint. And I find that really smart because Glacier, you know, I mean, going to the Sun Highway doesn't open sometimes till mid-June or later.
Where do you guys cross Idaho? You coming through town?
No. So, close, up by Bonners, north of Bonners a bit. Actually, one of the hardest sections on the whole trail is here with us in the Salt Lakes. And it's going over up at Lion's Head. You go to Pyramid of Ball Lake, and you keep going over past Ball Lake, and it's all bushwhack.
Some people have actually got off trail there. I was talking to this guy, and he said he picked up some hitchhikers out of Priest Lake that attempted it. It's supposed to be pretty gnarly. There's a high section where you can get stuck up high and it's like shale and slick and pretty sketchy. Or you can go the low route, which is complete bushwhack, pretty heavily wooded area. So we're still deciding which we want to do.
Yeah, you don't have to make that decision quite yet. We're here at 88.5 KRFY, community supported radio for North Idaho. We're here with Justin Murray and Matt Connery, talking about an upcoming hike. And let's take a little music break, and then we can talk about ways to fund and support the mission of this hike. Would you like to introduce, I asked Justine if Ethan had a couple songs that were go-to tunes for him, and I'll let you introduce it, then we'll play it.
All right. So Ethan loved Moby. Last time, Jim, you had me here, we played Ever Loving, which is definitely one of his favorites. But I'd say this one ties up there. It's Moby as well again. And the song is Extreme Ways.
Listening to 88.5 KRFY, that was Moby with Extreme Ways, and it's the morning show, Panhandle Community Radio with Jack and Jim. I'm Jack, that's Jim. Justine Murray and Matt Connery are here from the Ethan Murray Fund, talking about their past hike on the Idaho Centennial Trail and their upcoming Pacific Northwest Trail hike, which is coming up this summer. Hey, how far along are you guys in your preparation? Do you feel like you're on track getting there?
I feel like we're doing pretty good. It is, you just take it one day at a time. Do what you, you know, you make lists, you work on sections, just kind of like when you hike it, the trail. You just one day at a time. I just got to make it 20 miles today, set up my tent, and I'm good. So with the preparation, it is similar.
What kind, can I ask you, what kind of hikers are you? I mean, oftentimes when I have in the past hiked with another person, we've sort of worked out, it's not step by step, side by side. It's sort of, well, we'll meet you at this campsite and you work at your own pace, knowing who's the last person on the trail. I mean, is it Justine, do you find, oh, I'm going to slow down so Matt can catch up, you know, that sort of thing. What kind of hikers are you?
We hike together. We think it's really important. We don't really get out of each other's sight just for safety and comfort. And but yeah, I mean, you're hiking all day, every day with each other. And there are times where you just like are quiet and you look around and we'll check in with each other. So I really appreciate that about Matt. We both definitely, I would say I'm the slower one, but he finds my pace and is definitely very supportive.
What I find when I'm hiking with someone else, I have a difficult time having a conversation because if the person's in front, their voice is going forward and I'm behind straining. And if I am the front person, I find myself having to turn over like this way. And sometimes, you know, it's just best to go quiet, don't you think?
Sometimes, but we are entering 400 miles of grizzly territory.
I was going to say, look out, there's a grizzly
so,
up ahead.
Yeah, so actually we are, I'm a very loud hiker and talker. And I love singing terrible 80s songs. So I'm like terrified of bears, to tell you the truth. Sometimes I'm surprised I can sleep in a tent. But so one of my things is definitely making a lot of noise and scaring any bears that are in the area.
Well, what I was flashing in on that is the one thing I was growing up that my mother was critical of me is I would snap my gum, you know, and Jim, don't snap your gum. And I find when I'm hiking in grizzly country, yeah, I got a couple wads of gum in my mouth and I'm blowing bubbles and I'm snapping them. And I don't know if it does any good, but I agree with you, making noise. But of course, on the other hand, you know, hey, that's where they are, yeah. You know, that sort of thing. So,
yeah, like, it's like the dinner bell.
Yeah.
You guys walk with a pair of sticks each, I guess?
We do. Yeah. We use trekking poles. They really do help a lot.
And actually, the tent that we carry uses the trekking poles. So they not only are our walking sticks, we definitely need them to set our tent up as well.
So let's talk about the bigger picture outside of the adventure of having fun. What's the purpose of it and how can people support you?
So, yeah, the Ethan Murray Fund, you know, we're still in our research and development phase and we know there's a lot out there to explore. But right now, our focus this year has been teens. We've been hearing from a lot of teachers and students, you know, and definitely after COVID, just there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of mental health issues showing up. And so we wanted to really, that's why we got involved with the middle school. That's why we're doing the SOUL project where we're going to offer 2 river expeditions. And that's why we're offering counseling. We have an appointment with Human Connections coming up that we'll talk to.
Eric Ridgway.
Yes, Eric Ridgway. So we want to work with them as well and offer for people that come in that can't afford counseling services to make sure, which they're really great about that. They do have like a sliding scale and they don't turn people away. But maybe this is something that Human Connections and us, we could work together and reach out to the schools like LPO and middle school and say, hey, there's a scholarships or funding available. If you know a student that's struggling, like we're happy to help. So that's our big focus right now. We feel like it's very important and this is the future. I mean, I love that kids are talking about mental health in schools now. I think it's becoming more destigmatized. At least I hope it is for that generation. It definitely feels like it is. So yeah, that's what we're focused on at the moment.
So how does one sign up or make a donation to support the two of you in this incredible mission?
So if you want to get involved in our Pacific Northwest Trail hike, we do have pledge sheets up. You can pledge a flat donation or you can pledge per mile. We also, you can go online and donate at www.ethanmurrayfund.org. And then we just also say, like, sharing our posts on social media, talking about mental health with your family are important ways to spread the word.
On the website, you can also, there's a page that is all about the Pacific Northwest Trail. So you'll be able to find out some more information on there. There's some links that can show you the map. And when we're going, I carry a Garmin, and you'll be able to see our updates on us daily, actually like every 4 or 5 hours on where we're at on the trail. So you'll be able to follow along.
Can you explain to someone who does not know what a Garmin is?
Garmin is GPS satellite locating us, location.
Is that that little thing that people have?
Correct.
Everybody has that now.
Well, it's good for emergencies. We had a close call a couple of years ago, and we realized how far out we were of cell service, and it'd be really hard to get help. Or if you come upon an injured person, it's a great way to start the activate the 911 service.
So it also has texting on it also, so we can... It's not as efficient as your cell phone, but we're able to text out and text our families and let them know that we're safe, our mothers, every night that we made it to camp and we're all happy.
Yeah, and it's not a cell tower dependency like a cell phone.
No, it's satellite.
It's satellite, so it might not have all of the neat little gadgets that your cell phone has, but it has some really essential.
It does, including a SOS button. So if you do... get into trouble. If you hit that button, somebody's going to come find you.
Perfect. Perfect.
It may take a week, but they'll come, they'll get to you.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you have 28 pounds of food, you can snack while waiting. Okay, now let's go through, how does one donate? You said, first of all, a form.
Yeah, so we have the pledge sheets at my business. One,
okay, and that is?
La Chic Boutique, downtown 107 Main Street.
Okay, between 1st and 2nd. On Maine.
Yeah, you can come in. We kind of made a little poster board with the map, and the girls, when we're gone, will be putting little hiking boots where we are on the trail. So for those of you that want to follow along.
Is that cool or what? Okay, stop by La Chic Boutique, fill out a form, and now do they make payment right there, or do they wait if they decide to go like per mile as opposed to a lump sum?
Yeah, so Jim, it's really easy actually. All you need is your name, email, phone number, and what amount you want to pledge per mile. And we do not collect money unless we do the hike. So that's our incentive to get out there. And when we're having a hard day, just to remember all the people that are supporting this and our foundation and to keep us going. So it definitely is great.
It also means that no matter what obstacle that we come upon, we have to get around it, walk around it.
Or
get done.
Or up it.
True.
Or down it.
Right. Correct.
Wonderful. You know what I'm thinking of while they're talking, before we talk about other ways to go down? It'd be nice to have maybe someone from La Chic Boutique come on and give us an update where you guys are. And I'm going to have to arrange and do that. You know,
we should do that.
Ooh, Miss Lydia Welp.
Oh, Lydia, lovely Lydia, you bet. Okay, stop by La Chic Boutique, fill out a form, or
you can go to our website at www.ethanmurrayfund.org, and it's really easy to find. There's lots of options on our website that say you can click to donate now.
And it gives you a bigger picture of the Ethan Murray Fund, what it does, and the inspiration behind it and everything like that.
Yes, it does. And also something important to mention, there is a contact us that you can write on our website. And we're always open to new ideas or ways that you think we can help the community. So please always feel free to send us a message. We like receiving those.
Well, one thing that I do remember from your previous trip here is that I thought was just how we all get socks, you know, and I had a bunch of hiking socks and things like that that I don't use, and they're still in their container and whatever. Bring it down to La Chic Boutique. You know, maybe you, for Christmas you got some bear socks or some goofy socks. Bring them down, and what do you do with them?
We donate those to Bonner Homeless Transitions. We've been doing that now, that program, for about 5 years, And it's been really successful. And now we're actually selling the blankets that donate to a local shelter. And we just got those moved from Spokane to Bonner Homeless Transitions. So any blankets we purchase for La Chic, one will be given to Bonner Homeless Transitions.
Yeah, Justine, you're giving back to the community in so many wonderful ways, and you as well, Matt. Okay, we've got the form to fill out. You can get it at La Chic Boutique. You've got the online form at www.EthanMurrayFund. And spell out the name so that people make sure that they spell it correctly.
Yeah, it's EthanMurrayFund.org.
Perfect. Is there another way that one can commit? This is either per mile or a lump sum.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. You've got family. You've got friends.
I just want to add, like, every dollar matters. When we were on the Idaho Centennial Trail, we were able to just talk to people that we met, and we were going into a town stop, and there was a woman that was at the counter, and she asked us what we were doing, and she reached in her pocket and pulled out a $5 bill, and you could tell it was somebody that possibly couldn't afford that $5. So we're just so grateful for everything. You know, it touches people's hearts.
How much money did you raise in the first go round?
So our goal was $50,000. And by the time we were done with our slideshow auction, we raised almost $70,000.
Perfect. Perfect. Do you have a goal this time around, or just whatever comes your way?
We're going to do whatever comes our way. That definitely was very stressful. And we're going to take that stress off. And again, like Matt said, is like any amount helps. We're giving it back to the community, which feels really good. So, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. What else are we not talking about that we need to talk about? How about you've got family, friends, any businesses that you want to thank who have supported you?
Yeah, definitely. I want to thank Winter Ridge. We've gotten some great food donations from them, and we're so appreciative. And Vanessa over there, she's just amazing.
Oh, everybody at Outdoor Experience, I'd like to say hello to, and thank you for all your support and encouragement.
And we know there's a lot more family and friends and businesses. We just are so appreciative and grateful. Like, we couldn't do this without you. So thank you.
So one more time, we are here with Justine Murray and Matt Connery. And they will be, what's your start date?
June 20th.
June 20th. They are going to be on the Pacific Northwest Trail raising funds for the Ethan Murray Fund, and you can go to www.ethanmurrayfund.com.
Org.
What happens if they do com?
I don't know. It might redirect you. You never know.
You want me to find out?
Jack, you're the techie person.
I have the website up in front of me. It's very cool, and actually just makes me want to ask more questions about this wild route you guys are taking.
Okay, go ahead.
Across. Well, first I got to try ethanmurrayfund.com, see what happens.
Well, and the website's all Matt.
Ta-da.
Uh-oh. Aha! It goes nowhere. So
listen to me.
No, it's ethanmurrayfund.org. And the map is very cool. Now I have kind of a picture of where you guys are going. You go through, well, you have, looks like three major river crossings. What do you anticipate from that?
Oh, gosh. Again, one moment at a time.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Not yet.
Yeah. All right. What happens when you do go through a town? These are all pretty small towns, but when you guys kind of hike into a town, are you something that people are surprised to see, or is this a kind of common occurrence considering that it's on a prominent trail?
This time around, it'll be they're more used to hikers coming through because mm-hmm. there's 75 to 100 people that try to do the Pacific Northwest Trail, but mm-hmm. on the Idaho Centennial Trail, it's very humbling. There's not that many hikers, and so they don't really know what's going on. You're humbled because you kind of look like you're homeless. You're filthy. You're beat up. You're
walking into towns.
Yeah, you smell bad. Looking. People are looking at you like, "Oh, what's going on with this guy?" And it's humbling.
Even finding like a public restroom becomes an issue when you get to the towns. But we do like the towns. We do resupply at most of them. We will be doing this time and getting a good meal because we're always starving. So, yeah, we get like 3 breakfasts and 2 dinners.
Laundry, shower.
I would imagine that this trail will be more populated than the ICT. Wouldn't that be your guess?
Yes.
You know, that you'll run into other hikers. And maybe along the way, these trail towns are developing a trail community of recognizing the importance of the services they provide.
Yeah, it is definitely listed as one of the scenic trails. And there is Trail Angels. There's a whole guide you can get on that people have marked where there's trail. I actually, 2 walked into the shop from Bonner's and left the card with Lydia that they're Trail Angels. And if we need anything, to reach out in Bonner's.
Can you explain for someone who might not know what a trail angel is?
Trail angel, that is pretty much anybody that helps you along on the trail, which might be a ride into town. It might be they hand you a apple or some piece of food along the way, give you a place to stay.
Yeah, any random act of kindness,
yeah,
pretty much.
True.
There you go.
True.
There you go.
Yeah, we're grateful.
What is the significance of the route? I mean, how is this determined to be the Pacific Northwest Trail and not something 100 miles south of where this one falls? You know, any particular reason? No,
I'm not sure about that. I do know that the founder of it, he wanted it to be, I can't remember how it was, but as a raindrop hitting the continental divide and flowing to the ocean.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Yeah. It is. It's way up north. I mean, it's right along the Canadian border for a lot of it. If I have the benefit of having the map right in front of me. Mm-hmm, it's very cool. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be fun to follow you guys along, especially having that Garmin. Did you have one, Jim, when you hiked the Appalachian?
Oh, this is back in 2011. Yeah. I don't think they had them at that time. Hell, I had I'm sorry I used a bad word. I had a flip phone back then.
Yeah.
I've been watching YouTube videos. Everybody's got them. And I think they're just neater.
They're cool. I've never done a hike like this, but I've done some long trips out of contact with people. And I always thought it would be so neat if people could follow along and know right where you were. And they just couldn't. I remember my mom had a map once of where I was going, and by like day 3, we were way off. She was like, she was putting a pin on where she thought I was, and it was no way. Anyway, but it's neat, the interface of the wilderness and technology in our 21st century lives. I don't know. I just think that's very cool.
It is. Yeah. So there's an app called Far Out. It used to be Gut Hooks. And on the major trails, there's an app for it that shows you where every campsite is, every place you can get water, every turn of the way helps you along, which is nice. But it also, people can get lost because they don't know how to read an actual map.
You do a little bit of both. Matt will look at that, but he'll also like get out all of his maps and decide like, okay, this is the way we're going. His trail name is Map for a reason.
MAP?
Yep.
And what's your trail name?
Trail Boss.
Trail Boss. Whoa. Okay, you carry twice as much as I do.
Yeah, she's the boss.
What fun.
Once again, it's Justine Murray and Matt Connery. There's much more to talk about, but the proceeds from their hike, whatever they're able to raise, go to the Ethan Murray Fund, primarily benefiting mental illness concerns in our area. So all goes to a good cause, and you can contribute at La Chic Boutique.
And support. You know, this is wonderful. They're giving back in so many ways, and I think it's important that the community rally around and watch the footsteps during the summer. And, of course, we'll have both of you back on in the fall.
That would be wonderful. We can answer a lot more questions.
And then we can ask you, what next?
Yeah.
What fun. Okay. We're going to send you out into this beautiful day and another song that, so in closing, however you want to close our conversation, Justine, and then we'll transition with a song that Ethan was close to him.
Okay, well, I just want to thank KRFY, Jim and Jack, for having us. We're honored. And I also want to let you guys know, starting at 9 a.m., we've made a donation to Jules, which was one of Ethan's favorite restaurants besides Tango. And you can go get a taco for Ethan. His food language was definitely tacos and enchiladas and all the yummy tortillas. So definitely go have a taco on Ethan. And so we're going to end one of Ethan's favorite songs towards the end here is You Two, The Troubles.